Welcome to Getting Through It, where we're here to help you get through it. I'm John Buary, and as always, I'm with Dr. Lucy Jones. And before we get started, we wanted to thank all the new sponsors who've joined us as patrons of Dr. Jones's nonprofit, Center for Science and Society.
And I want to add a special thank you to all of those listed on our center webpage as supporters.
Their contributions, as little as $5 a month, enable us to produce this podcast, as well as other work bringing science to decision makers and the public. Please go to patreon.com and be a supporter too. That's patreon.com and search Dr. Lucy Jones. So now, let's get to it. Today, we want to help you understand how you can deal with the frustration of the pandemic as it relates to others making choices that impact you and your life. And unlike the earthquake, the choice not to heed official recommendations for safety impacts more than just that individual making that choice. Mask wearing, physical distancing, gathering in large groups, etc., all of those things impact everyone around them. And social science tells us that the choice they are making is not always rational because, well, they're human, and humans make decisions on emotional processes first before the logic kicks in. One of the factors that affects this is the idea of cognitive dissonance, how people can't overcome their own beliefs because they are formed in a very specific and personal way.
And cognitive dissonance is one of those things that's well understood in social science and is really important for looking at how people think about these things. If you have two really incompatible ideas, like you want to believe I'm really smart, but you also have I just did something really stupid, those two ideas don't fit together. And so you got to find some way of reconciling this. And you probably don't want to think that you're really stupid. So you need to convince yourself that that decision you make wasn't as stupid as it seemed. And so we sort of change our views of what a lot of things are to avoid that conflict, that really deep feeling of discomfort. Now think about it whenever you've made a pretty big mistake, just how uncomfortable it is to think about that. And especially in our current American society, where we've become much more partisan, where there are we sort of have almost different worlds that we're living in, we've got this real sort of tribal process. And if you've got an idea that this is what my tribe believes in, this is what everybody around me is doing, it's very hard to say that's something bad. And when the messages change, like, wow, it turns out masks are really important, it can be hard to let go of that. And so we're seeing people aren't making rational decisions and dealing with it. You don't want to go argue with somebody about just why the mask is important. That's not where the decision's coming from.
And we've talked about this in the past. If you recall back in episode 3, we talked about how the emotions with disasters stem from the way we perceive risk, right? We talked about that dread and uncertainty really play into a human being's reaction to the information they're being given. How does that play into the following expert advice?
Okay, right? This is another place where we're beyond the cognitive dissonance, where we're really struggling with this. And one of the things is, remember that the things that make something seem very frightening and a greater risk are uncertainty and dreadedness. If it's something that's really awful, you fear it more. If it's something that nobody understands, you feel it more. So it's sort of a really perverse thing. The more we learn about this disease, even though we're learning it's actually really pretty bad, and but it's because we're understanding it better, it seems less frightening. And also, as we've learned more, it's really bad, but it's not as fatal as we at first had been thinking. Remember when we were getting that data out of Italy that 10% of people were dying? We're not sticking with those sort of numbers. And somehow, oh, okay, the numbers have gone down. It's less fatal. Oh, it's not so bad. That's reducing dreadedness. And then, well, we understand it now. That's reducing the uncertainty. So it's made us feel less afraid, even though the situation isn't any different. And in fact, you could argue it's a lot worse than it was 4 months ago, because there are so many more cases of it out in our community right now.
The question is, how can we help people get with the program, as they say? And the answer, it comes down to the way we communicate, right? We know that. That is, with most interpersonal interactions, it's about the way that we communicate.
Right. So there's several things that we can learn from communications research about what's going to be the most effective ways. There's a whole research specialty of risk communication, and they give us a lot of advice here. One is that we shouldn't be arguing with people about the logical thing or getting angry at them. That's going to push them off into that other tribe. You want to try and find some way of showing that you sort of have empathy. Maybe you start with going, yeah, aren't masks a pain? Boy, they really are hard to use. Fundamentally, we're trying to change a social norm. We're trying to change it so your tribe isn't saying, don't wear a mask. We want your tribe to be saying, do wear a mask. And so we need to have it coming at us from a lot of different directions. One of the things that's really clear from communications research is that consistent messages from multiple sources do a much better job, and multiple, what they call modalities. So seeing a sign that shows you how to wear the right mask and hearing an announcement saying, we want to thank our wonderful customers for working with us to keep everybody safe. Keeping it positive, defining it as just the norm that everybody's part of. And then also, it's a place where role models make a huge difference. So people that you admire, whoever it might be, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Tom Hanks or whoever your role model is, Beyonce, get them out there saying, I care about this.
Someone who's listening might ask, what can I do as an individual? I get it. I'm not supposed to yell at my neighbor if they're walking down the street without a mask, or I yell at someone at a grocery store if they're not wearing a mask. Got it. What could they possibly do?
Well, unfortunately, this is a place where, you know, in spite of our great American individualism, that's not the best approach. This is both a communal problem. The reason the mask is a problem and the not wearing a mask is a problem is not because that person's going to die from it. It's because he might infect somebody else by not doing it. And we have a hard time in our society talking about individuals acting in the common good, that you would be willing to do something that doesn't help you, that's only about helping others. I mean, we like it, we admire it, you know, oh, look at this great altruism, but we treat it as something odd and really special when somebody does that. And we make the assumption that everybody's working in their own individual interest. So there's not a lot you can do directly. What you can do is try to come together. If you let your local officials know that you would really like to see enforcement of the mask, and you would love it if your city was willing to go and give a fine for not wearing a mask, imagine how different it might be at City Hall if they got 1,000 messages saying, please, please, go find people who don't comply. Right? We've got to think about how we do this stuff together. And that's it's not very traditional in America right now. But it's what we need to get through this.
So for you, you're in a unique position, Lucy. You're a bit of a public figure, some would say. That's why folks are listening to us now. What are you doing to help move this along? I know you've been quoted in a number of articles about making sure people wear their mask, don't share your air, was a great quote you gave a couple weeks ago. What else are you doing?
Well, the one thing I'm doing is that when people ask me for this, I try to make it clear. So, for instance, I'm part of a rather esoteric music group called SoCal Viols, people who get together to play early music because we just enjoy it. Well, we're having a hard time doing that now. And I made up a recommendation sheet that's saying, here's ways we can play safely. Stay outside, because then you're really not sharing your air so much. Always insist on masks. And I did it in a way that I tried to say, here's the science, give them an explanation of why it works. And then here are some practical things that you could take on, like being on the side of a building, you can hear the other instruments better than if you try to sit in a circle outside. Try to be as far apart as you can. 6 feet's not a magic number. And so I tried to use these messaging things and making it positive. This is how we're doing something together, but then give them the practical information.
And what you're doing is, by you delivering that message, and then perhaps they're hearing it from government officials and perhaps also at a store they shop in, you're reinforcing the message so they continue to recognize and then internalize that that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, and it's one of our big problems right now because the messaging hasn't been as consistent as we would like. partly because the science has changed. Early on, they thought masks weren't that important. Part of it actually got distorted. We got to save our masks for our professionals, thinking that the only type of mask that might help would be the professional level. And so we've been inconsistent in the messaging, and we're all having to overcome that. The more directions we can get that message being, we need to change that social norm and just accept. Because let's be honest, guys, we're, 6 months is the earliest we could possibly imagine getting a vaccine, and it won't be out there to everybody for longer after that. We got to figure out how to change a lot of things to live with this.
We can all do our part. I think that's the message that I'm taking away here today and wish to reiterate to everyone listening. But we can't do it alone. And it's not about someone out there individually policing other people, but really taking ownership of the communities that you lead in order to motivate them and inspire them to take the appropriate action in order to keep everyone safe in the community.
And remember, when you're doing this, that you want to have messages that are positive, if possible, that are a little bit funny, that if you, make it really clear what it is that you want people to do, and help people understand that this really applies to all of us, because we're all in this together.
This is one of those topics we'll probably come back and revisit again soon. So until next time, I'm John Pueri with Dr. Lucy Jones and you, Getting Through It. Getting Through It is a production of the Dr. Lucy Jones Center for Science and Society. Visit us online to get past shows and become a supporter at patreon.com, that's patreon.com, and search Dr. Lucy Jones. There you can get extras, insights, and access to the entire world of Getting Through It. Our music is performed by Josh Lee, and this closing music is written by our own Dr. Lucy Jones.